Hey guys, welcome to the Driveway Liberty Podcast.
Take two.
At least we didn't get too far this time.
That's true.
I'm your Uncle Wes, sitting here with my good friends Travis and Dan. And we're going to talk some politics. We'll talk some local stuff today. We're going to talk about a really cool function that you guys went to over the weekend that I wasn't able to go to due to a family obligation. And we were talking about flooding and the fact that Travis is now adequately prepared for hurricane weather.
So I told the story about the test drive last week
and
how interesting it was. And so they ended up coming back to me the next day and made me an offer. Well, I mean, it was an offer I could refuse, but offer I chose not to refuse. So it got me a new truck Friday. So
now this is the Driveway Liberty Pickup Truck Driving Podcast.
Yes, and I think everybody's got four-wheel drive. We could start recording in Milton at this point.
We could. We'd have to start dealing some meth.
I ain't against that. Take a few teeth out. Well, I mean, Dan's already got the dental issues. So,
there you go. Snatch them out. You still don't have your teeth right.
Well, I have a reinfection in that one that they saved the crown they went through. So guess what? Bye-bye, Mr. Crown. So the second one's going to get pulled now. So
I mean, you would think all the bourbon that went down your throat this weekend, it would have killed any infection.
Yeah. But think about it on the positive side, Dan. You'll be able to whistle like a mofo.
You have a lot of different variations of that whistle.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah,
definitely, man. You'll have a great whistling voice.
Yeah. So I don't know if we have listeners in New Orleans or anything like that, but definitely think about those. That was pretty rough over there, Hurricane Ida. That was something else.
They're
talking about people are going to be, there's some people are going to be out of power for like a month.
Yeah. And they always say that it tends to work out quicker than that. But it's going to be interesting over
there. Under promise, over deliver.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
I don't know. You promised me I'm going to be out of power for a month. That's, you're going to have a hard time making me happy.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Oh, it is what it is. Natural disaster. You can't help it.
No.
And by the way, my voice is shot today.
So obviously this time of year, most, if not all, Gulf oysters are coming out of Louisiana. Well, obviously that production shut down for at least another week or two.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been getting phone calls all week, and one guy was like, well, I don't understand why you don't have oysters. I understand why that company located in Louisiana doesn't have them. Like,
well, that's where we buy them.
We get them out of the same water. And it's
where do you think the oysters come from? Texas?
Like, when
Louisiana?
It says Louisiana and it's the same zone, do you think that's like just fictitious zones we all make up?
Well, even Texas oysters have got to be messed up because it's right there in that little crook in the Gulf.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And all that weather hit up there, man.
Gulf oyster production overall is shut down for like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah,
this guy's like, we're going into Labor Day. I'm an oyster bar. I can't be without oysters. Like, well, you're about to be, buddy.
Yeah.
You're about to be. You might should have thought about making the rest of your food good.
Yeah.
But whatever. I'm going to let that one. not going to say too much.
You better work on your grilled cheese skills. You better tighten it up, buddy.
Yep.
Order some corn dogs or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, we've got a lot to talk about. So, y'all want to dive into TDC first, or you want to talk about your visit with
Let's go into TDC.
Ryan
Cloutis. You are well prepared.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't know. I don't even know where to start. I guess the first thing I should do. All right. As I mentioned last week, I met with Brian Kellenberger, who is the operations director for the TDC. And the operations, they handle things like beach safety, maintenance, stuff of that nature. It's not the marketing side of things. And he sent me a text after last week with a couple of corrections that we'll address during this, but one of which he wanted to make sure that we said that his interest in talking with me and helping us and all of us understand is not for the preservation of his job, but for the preservation of a robust economy that provides good job pay opportunities to Walton County residents. And in making Walton County a better place, particularly Walton County beaches and the public spaces in South Walton. And so I want to be fair to Brian because he was very gracious with his time. He's a very considerate guy, very nice guy. Matter of fact, he and I will be having a beer together in the near future. He actually asked about coming and just drinking beer with us while we did the podcast. He didn't necessarily want to be on the podcast. He just wanted to come drink beer, which I can respect that. I don't have a problem.
Yeah, I'm
down
with it.
In my little bit of interaction with Brian, Brian's really a good dude. So if he says that it's not interest in preserving his job, because it's my understanding he had a nice job before he took the job at the TDC. He owned his own company and did quite well. So I believe him when he says that. So that being said, I think we'll dive into you have the spring update there?
Oh, I do have the spring study, sorry.
All right, so so for those of you that aren't in Florida and don't understand what a TDC is, a TDC is a Tourist Development Council. And it is a special taxing district of our county government, so to speak. But it's something that's established by state statute. And they are limited by state statute on what they can collect money-wise and how they can spend that money. They also within – it's been pointed out to me by through Suzanne Harris. We on the broadcast know Suzanne. From Jim Bagby, who used to work with the TDC, that a lot of people take the Visit South Walton and they just automatically associate and co-join that with the TDC, whereas the Visit the South Walton arm is a DMO, which is a development marketing organization. I believe that's the actual phrase. So Visit South Walton's job is the marketing side, the thing that I think we all three most disagree with using pooled tax resources to spend money on. So, but that being said, I think we might find when we dig into what we're going to go into, and I don't want to bore everybody with this stuff, but so we'll talk about a few points and we'll try to keep it high level without getting into too much minutia, what they actually do other than the marketing side of things. So I think the first thing we need to do is discuss what they're authorized to use by state law, how they're allowed to spend the funds. Yeah. So the way those of you not in Florida that doesn't understand this, when you come to Florida and you pay a bed tax, because you'll notice that on your bill anywhere you stay in the state of Florida, and the county sets that amount. When you pay in our particular county, it is 5 cents. Or 5%, mm-hmm. 5 cents on every dollar. When you pay that, it goes to the Tourist Development Council to spend to continue to develop tourism, to keep the beaches neat and clean, even though you should be cleaning up after your own damn self.
Correct.
Emptying the garbage cans, cutting the grass around the beach accesses, making sure the lumber is all right on the boardwalks, and even some bay stuff. They take care of some, but like some of the bayside parks, like Cessna Landing and Legion Park, that falls under the TDC's scope of control. So what they do with that 5 cents on the dollar, they're allowed by state. It's segmented into two different segments, right? First segment is enumerated. They say it specifically what they can spend money on, and we'll go through that in detail. The second area that they can spend money on can be approved by the legislative body over it, which is in our case the Board of County Commissioners. In some places it may be a city operation, like Jacksonville and the county, those government, that's all in Duval County, that's all one government.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be whatever it is. So by majority rule, within certain limits, the Board of County Commissioners can say what we spend money on. And that can be audited and that can be challenged. I'm not going to get into all that tonight. Let's talk about what the enumerated stuff is real quick. So they can use that 5 cents to acquire, construct, extend, enlarge, remodel, repair, or promote the following: publicly owned and operated convention centers, sports stadiums, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago, sports arenas, coliseums, or auditoriums. Auditoriums that are publicly owned but are operated by organizations that are exempt from federal tax pursuant, like 501c3 organizations. So if you have a 501c3.
Or the NFL.
Or the NFL, or Tampa Bay Bucks.
I'm sure it's the NHL. I'm sure it's all of them.
Yeah. You could
have
you,
the tax exempt status.
And it has to be open to the public within the boundaries.
So when we go back to that first. So yeah. It says publicly owned stadiums, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So,
arenas, coliseums, auditoriums.
So I guess a football stadium that is owned by the county technically falls under this.
As long as it's in the taxing district, which brings us – we might talk a little bit later. I'm thinking that the septic tanks that are putting up north,
yes,
that they pulled from these resources to do, there were some creative language used to be able to do that, because – all of this enumerated stuff says they have to spend the money in the taxing district, and the taxing district is South Walton. And I'm sure Brian will text me if I'm wrong on that.
So the public owns the crappiest football stadium in world history at South Walton High School, and these funds.
Well, now there is a separation between school systems, because school systems, its own taxing district.
Right.
Anything that's in within the school system, this Walton County Schools pays for. TDC can't put money towards that.
Okay, so it would just have to be like a...
It would be like a pro team or a semi-pro team or a sports complex like we were talking about a few weeks ago. Or something.
Foley, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that. Then they get into... we said auditoriums. Aquariums or museums. They can be owned and those can be owned and operated by not-for-profit organizations. So the TDC can theoretically go and buy a piece of property, build a building, and turn it over to a not-profit to own and operate. Same things go for a zoo.
We have a lack of zoos in Walton County.
We have zero zoos in
Walton
County.
Well, we had one. Oh, that was in Bay County.
They've got one. Yeah, they've got one in Bay County, but yeah.
Down there on the beach.
Yep.
You know, maybe we need to form a nonprofit and open a zoo.
I mean, it sounds like TDC is going to give you all kinds of stuff.
Well, I mean, they theoretically could legally.
Well, I mean, they got plenty of money to do it.
They do have lots of money.
So
they do have to put
us a bunch of money and then start like a zoo.
They do have to put a significant portions of their money that they collect by law aside for beach nourishment. That's a state law, state statute.
I got a lot of ambitions in life, and one of them is not owning a zoo.
No, man, I ain't fixed it. Wouldn't
be making a lot of money.
Tiger King.
For not doing a whole lot. Just saying, like, we could be the executors and not have to do a whole lot.
Well, that's true. You hire the zookeepers.
You hire the zookeepers. We just funnel the money to us.
There you go. So, obviously, to promote and advertise tourism.
I got a new truck to pay for, Dan. Don't shake your head.
So do I.
They also fund convention bureaus, tourist bureaus, tourist information centers, which I believe is what Visit Walton falls under, Visit South Walton falls under. Or by contract with the Chambers of Commerce, which I think is why our president of the South Walton Chamber was so interested in getting the 2% bed tax passed. And it's not technically just a bed tax. They call it a tourist development tax, TDT. So maybe that's why our beloved chamber president, who lives right here in our neighborhood, pushed so hard to have the 2% passed in North Walton.
Probably.
Get a piece of that.
So they could do that. They could finance beach park facilities, beach channel, estuary, a lagoon improvement, maintenance, renourishment, restoration, and erosion control, construction of beach groins, which I don't know what that means.
Groins?
But that's in this. Groins and shoreline protection.
Hey, man, I am all about renourishing groins on the beach.
There you go. So they do enhancement, cleanup, restoration, which is a significant portion of what Brian Kellenberger's department does. They go up, they picked up, I think it was like 565 tons of trash.
I'm sure.
And they had it broken down by bag.
About a ton and a half of that was my empty beer cans.
Probably. It was probably, yeah. Because I drink a lot of beer when I'm sitting on that beach. Yeah. No doubt about it.
135 degrees.
You want to know what a groin is?
Uh-oh.
I know what a groin is.
I know what a groin is.
I pulled my groin
one
time.
Beach groin.
Oh.
Okay, yeah, share it with us.
Beach groins are shore perpendicular structures used to maintain updrift beaches or restrict longshore sediment transport.
Okay.
So nice. they're basically meant to capture the sand transported along the shore and keep it from depleting the sand supply.
Ah, gotcha. Thanks for educating us on that.
I don't know if we have any.
So, I mean, they do that, and counties fewer of 100,000 up to 10% of the revenues from the tourist development tax may be used for beach park facilities. There is no specific on populations over 100,000, but I think we have, 75,000?
Yeah, as of the last census.
Yeah. Number six, to acquire, construct, extend, enlarge, remodel, repair, improve, maintain, operate, or finance public facilities within the boundaries of the county or sub-county special taxing district in which the tax is levied.
You know, and this is why so much government money gets spent on stupid crap. Because I like to consider myself a somewhat intelligent person. And the more we talk about this directly off of the law, I'm just like,
yeah.
They do it on purpose so the average person doesn't understand it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they don't get challenged.
And believe it or not, I'm actually trying to simplify
that. I know.
So
that way, when the average person says defund the TDC, everybody loses their shit. It's weird.
Yeah. So they also, in the counties where the other way is the county board can approve certain expenditures, but they have to justify it. Something else I also learned is that with a 15% vote, you can defund the TDC.
Holy shit, for real?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You can dissolve the organization.
Where does the tax money go, or is there just not a tax?
You got to have that entity to collect the tax.
Ooh.
Oh, man. So that's – look, here's my deal. And
change the law. Elect new legislature to change the law.
Since I've gotten deep in this, I don't know that I've changed my mind on things, because I wasn't totally against the TDC in the first place. But I did as a libertarian, my preferred – you know, I think all taxation is theft. But if I have to choose the lesser of the thefts – a consumption tax is the way I would rather pay taxes. I don't want to be taxed on my income, my interest on investments, my capital gains appreciations, none of that. But if I decide I want to go buy a luxury boat or I want to go buy a certain thing, I don't necessarily have an issue, because I can always say no to that tax. Just like everybody that comes down here, you know, their bills are itemized with that 5% bed tax. They can always say no. But they choose not to. Speaking of that.
So, whoa, they can choose not to pay that tax?
They can choose not to come.
Oh, they can choose not to come.
They can choose to go to.
I was about to say, I've yet to see any tax that's voluntary.
We got to pay for the groins.
You got to pay for the groins.
Hey, man, like, if we're going to spend money on some groins, I'm a big fan of that.
There you go. So, I mean, there's a lot of other stuff in the law. If you're interested in this kind of stuff, which I am, I would challenge you to go to Florida Statute Number 125, Section 104. That is where you will find that information in a lot more detail than what I've just given, for the sake of time and entertainment purposes.
So what Wes just said was, if you are listening and are suffering from insomnia and need something to knock you out, go read the TDC statute.
So we'll talk a little bit about what tourism brings. Now, Visit South Walton uses this. I don't want to use the word justify.
I'll use it. Justify.
But they use these stats to justify their existence. 1.72 billion dollars in tourist money come here.
All right.
That's
so
the impact. Economic impact.
What are they defining as spring?
I'm assuming actual spring through May. There's not a definition.
Oh, so that's just spring.
I mean,
numbers?
We've got all of 2020 right here.
No.
We've got all of these stats from 2020.
Yeah.
Which is a COVID year, so I don't know how.
I bet you it's pretty solid year.
It was a pretty solid year, but one thing I did notice between the two is the average expenditure per family has actually gone up in spring over last year. So that tells me that.
Well, yeah, that makes sense. everybody's raised their prices.
Yeah. Yeah.
Including
yeah.
the
go out to eat.
Including the short term rentals. Yeah. And every restaurant, Publix, Walmart. So
but all right, so the $1.72 billion is what tourism brings in. This is the economic impact as of spring of this year. 27,000, I think I said 32,000 jobs last week. 27,800 jobs. That's $808 million in wages.
All right, hold on. Nobody's ever going to tell me the calculation. But what they're doing there is it's a government organization getting free tax money, and I'm sure folks are making pretty decent money in that government organization.
Yep.
And so they're just taking, like I told you, there's lies, there's damn lies, and then there's statistics.
Yeah. I knew that before I ever met you.
So 27,800 local jobs. That's just in South Walton.
Yes.
I'll call hog shit on that.
You don't think there's that many jobs here
locally? There's like, what, 60,000 people in the whole county.
And a lot of people in the north end of the county come down here to
work. Right, and there's folks from other counties. I get it.
And we're not also not looking at the types of jobs. I mean, are they part-time? Are they full-time?
So the jobs are actually in Walton County. But all they're doing
is taking a dollar amount, dividing by a certain amount to get to jobs.
These are all high-level statistics,
I highly doubt they went to the pontoon boat rental guys like, hey, man, how many folks you got? Two? Okay, got it.
Yeah,
it's a calculation.
And there's a lot of under-table employees, too.
Yeah.
So it's kind of it's difficult to count that, yeah. But they've got a marketing organization, Downs in St. Germain, that does this research for them. And as somebody that owns a marketing company, most of the stuff we come up with is pretty accurate. Now, I don't know how they get – they probably got these job reports from like a census data or citydata.com or something like that.
Maybe. I mean, there's no local or state tax, whereas in like Alabama, what state taxes were collected in this area, you would be able to nail it down to how many people. Yeah.
Well, there is there's unemployment tax and stuff like that for those that have legitimate employees, so that I'm assuming those stats would be available.
But see, I'm considered Florida virtual, so my job, which is Walton, Okaloosa, Bay, five or six different counties, it won't ever show up in that stat if that's a legit number.
Yeah, so you're saying it could be higher?
I mean, it could be higher. I don't think it's that high. It could theoretically be higher, but to say that $1.7 billion in tourism directly led to that, I mean, you're making a lot of assumptions.
I don't think it's all tourist dependent positions, but I think they're ancillary businesses like landscapers and things like that. I have no reason to doubt. I mean, is it 27,800 exactly? Probably not. But you know. There's a shit ton of people that work down there.
No, I agree with you, and I'm not necessarily saying that that's wrong. It seems pretty high, and I'd like to know how they got to that. And if 1.8 billion is only 28,000 jobs, that seems pretty low. Like we got a whole lot of money being spent, and it's not creating enough jobs.
Well, they've collected. That's property owners and stuff like that making that money. I mean, you know, that's business owners making cash too.
Right. But what they're trying to say is for everybody down here and every dollar spent, it leads to a certain amount of jobs. To go from 1.7 billion to 27,000, that is a multiplier of about what, 10 grand, give or take?
Yeah. Dan's a mathematician.
So you get rid of the TDC and all these jobs will go away.
Yes. That's what they would say.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm just arguing points because I hate the TDC.
But you can't give the credit for all of these jobs completely to the TDC.
Or Visit Southwalk or any of them.
Well, I've got some counterpoints that I'm going to discuss with Susan Harris.
I will relent that it has zero effect and say $1.7 billion would happen if not for the TDC and Visit South Walton. So that $0.02 billion, I'll give them credit for. Appreciate that, guys.
All right, so the TDC has collected through spring $15,827,575. That's their collections and property tax. in since January. I assume January to May or whenever spring's officially.
That's
over.
The bed tax, right? That's the five.
Yeah, okay. TDT. Yeah, and then the beach maintenance. They pay for beach maintenance.
So they're going well ahead of there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah.
$33 million budget.
They're on a record pace.
Well. Now, and a good I bit expect a refund.
Some, I mean, a large percentage of that, and I don't think I wrote that down when I spoke with Brian, but he mentioned it, goes towards beach restoration. It may be 2 cents of every five, or maybe 3 cents of every five. I can't remember.
Hey, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Because I've got the 2020 study here.
Yeah.
And do you know the total economic impact this says from a dollar standpoint? $5.3 billion.
So it has gone down this year. Well, this is just spring.
I know.
Yeah.
However, you want to guess how many jobs was created because of tourism?
Was it 32?
27,800. The
same
so
number.
So 5.3 billion.
The same number.
And 1.7 billion created the exact same amount of jobs.
Now, those jobs don't necessarily go away just because you're only measuring a portion
sure,
of the year.
I understand.
So I don't know that there's a correlation there or a causation there. Maybe a correlation. I don't know. All right. So this money goes
a
to
conflagration, I believe, is the best way to put it.
Maybe. So beach maintenance, beach safety, parking, transportation, marketing. 75% of retail spending in Walton County is done by tourists.
Yeah, because the only retail is Alvin's Island.
Well, no. I mean, retail includes
I know, Walmart.
Silver Sands, yeah. Walmart, shopping, dining.
We don't shop there.
Medical, entertainment, bars.
Now the bars is a little different. However,
yeah, I mean, it includes all that. Yeah, I mean, it, that's retail spending. What you do is wholesale.
Oh, I know. So, yeah, yeah. But, look.
Diesel smash, no smash. We shop smart.
There you go.
That's right.
So, 0.62 billion. Why don't we just put that in millions?
620
million. Yeah,
it actually sounds better if you say 620 million.
Yeah, it does.
So this marketing research firm. All right, you know what?
So spring spending on accommodations.
They're gonna run me out of the county if I.
That's how much. That's how much money that they've spent on tourists have spent on accommodations through spring. That keeps 16,432 hotel rooms, vacation units, etc. occupied. So, if you've got 16,432 rooms, I don't think it's unrealistic to think there's 27,000 jobs. I mean, both of those numbers are accurate, or one of those numbers are accurate, that makes sense. This is what I like. 67% of county government revenue comes from tourists. That's a tax savings, on average, of $1,232 per household. And yet, they're threatening to raise the taxes again. So, the county is. So,
it's not a tax saving.
No, because taxation.
It should be.
It should be.
It's not.
My millage rate should be going down instead of up every year.
Yes.
Like Tony Anderson sent me a mailer saying that he would not raise my taxes. Yet, shockingly, my millage rate is going to go up for the second straight year since he got elected.
Easy now. Don't make me have to edit.
Well, but you ask Danny Gladwell, and he'll tell you we haven't raised the millage rate.
But what I want him to tell me is,
so now we're just catching up.
How does that save me $1,200? Show me exactly how it saves me $1,200. If TDC can only spend it on beach operations and this and all that stuff, how does it save me $1,200?
It's a marketing firm put this together. It's just like when I go to Publix
But everybody groceries. Will read that and believe it because I've heard it 17 times since then. But yet nobody can say, okay, because of A, it saves you in B, C, D, and E.
Yeah.
They just look at this PowerPoint with really cool graphics. I will say they did a great job there.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, jackpot, the government saved me money. No, that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen.
I guess their justification would be they're collecting this from tourists and they're using it. And if they weren't, then we'd have to pay for it.
Well,
but every...
The argument can be made...
I'm not saying that's a good argument.
The argument can be made that if we didn't have the tourists, we wouldn't have the infrastructure issues and we wouldn't need... as much.
Okay, let's take the city of Birmingham. City of Birmingham is not a huge tourist destination, but it is a tourist destination.
Sure.
Okay. For work and stuff like that. So people passing through Birmingham, who you would consider to be tourists, either they're on their way to go somewhere or whatever,
right?
That stop in X County and buy gas and a Snickers bar, and maybe they run into Publix real quick to grab a sub. Okay, you're getting tax revenue off of that. Okay, so it's not saving you money. And just because there's a tourist here, there's a tourist in every county. Tourist in every county on earth. Somebody's driving through that doesn't live there, who would technically be considered a tourist, an out-of-towner, that is spending money there that is adding to the tax base.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you can't point to Escambia County, Alabama, which theoretically has almost no tourism. Actually, it may. Let's take Covington County, Alabama, because there ain't no reason to go to Covington County, Alabama. It gets tourist revenue.
Right.
Which theoretically should keep all their taxes down because people are driving to the beach here to buy gas and they're doing all these different things along the way. So to try to say that I pay less in taxes because of tourism and thankful for the TDC and I should go bow and get on my knees and thank them for the $1,200 they saved me because of the tourism tax they collect is absolute hawk shit. There's no way. There's no logic to that. Every government on earth has a tourism tax built in. It's a usage tax.
Yep. Hey, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back right after this.
Hey, guys, it's Wes. I want to thank you so much for helping our podcast grow. We are so excited about the growth we've experienced in our listenership this year. And we're very excited to be able to now offer sponsorships for liberty-minded business owners right here on our podcast. So reach out to us. You can contact me directly at Wes at WesHerndon.com, or you can go to our Facebook page. It's Facebook.com/ The Driveway Liberty Podcast. Send us a message, man, if you're interested. We'd love to have you as a sponsor. And maybe if you're local or nearby, we can actually shoot a podcast directly at your business. Either way, let's get back to the broadcast.
All right, guys, welcome back. We're going to get a little bit more of this TDC stuff, but before we do that, let's do some drink reviews.
Notice
I didn't say beer reviews. So let's start with our boy Dan over here.
Well, I had kind of a rough weekend.
You had a really fun weekend.
I had a
weekend.
Great weekend that ended up into a rough rest of the weekend. So yeah, so I'm not drinking any beer tonight because I pretty much drank
all of them.
All the worst stuff. Friday night after I got done with the football game.
Yeah, I'll take responsibility.
Well, our neighbors sent me a Facebook message. Said, "Where you at? Come on over. We're in the driveway." So I'm like, I'm in Niceville. I just got off the football field, and it was like, I don't know, probably like 10:30. And then I texted you, and you're like, "Craft bar's still open." So we go there.
Yes.
And I tried to get caught up. Yeah. So I drank four glasses of Bullet in less than 30 minutes just to get caught up.
Then
we went to Sturgeon's driveway.
Yeah, and I'm standing in the driveway. I look up, and there folks driving through the yard.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, "Oh, that's right, Travis's new truck. Look at that. He just rolled up in the yard."
Uh-huh. And then I didn't go home. I was still dressed up in my
You a hard time.
I didn't go home. And so, I mean, I got a bottle of bourbon, the good stuff, at home, or at least my version of the good stuff.
Dan looked like he was about to manage an Applebee's.
That's the uniform we have to wear. Khaki pants and a white polo shirt.
Yeah.
He's about to
come out and ask you how your meal was.
I said, who's got alcohol? And basically I ended up drinking Jack Daniel's honey.
Yeah. Oh. Well, that's good. That's good for your voice, though.
Well, listen.
Theoretically.
And then Saturday morning, Travis and I were planning on going to this event, and it was Saturday night. And we'll talk about the event after the beer reviews. But I guess your daughter was going to go hang out. So we went, I got home at like 3:30 in the morning.
What, Saturday?
Yeah.
Wow. You guys.
Friday night. No, Friday night.
Friday.
After the Sturgis.
Yeah, it was 1 when we got to the house, 1:30.
And I was hammered.
Dude.
I had to get up to go with Travis at like, what, it was like 10:30 or 11?
10:30 we were trying to leave,
What time was the event?
It wasn't till later, but Brooklyn was hanging out.
Well, here's how it gets worse. I mean, I was completely hungover because of drinking just the terrible stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That Jack Daniel's honey stuff hits you hard. All that sugar kills you the next day.
Yeah, it does.
So I said, Travis, I need a Bloody Mary. And he's like, I got a plan for that. So we ended up going to a place in Panama City Beach after he dropped off his daughter. And I drank two Bloody Marys, and I was still not feeling good. Mm-hmm. Ate some gumbo.
I had like half a Bloody Mary. I was like, I'm just not feeling this. And so I switched to the Dixie Lager.
Yeah.
And
listen to how my brain works.
Uh-huh.
I said, I'm not feeling great. I think I'm going to switch to bourbon. So like what, 2 o'clock in the afternoon,
uh-huh.
I got the girl to pour me.
Oh, she poured.
What was it? Woodford?
I think it was. Woodford Reserve. They
only had two bourbons. Yeah. I'm like, you got Travis. I went to the bathroom. Travis was like trying to buy me a glass of Bullet, and they didn't have it. So he wasn't going to take a chance. He wasn't going to take a chance on. So I said, give me the Woodford. I said, do you have the big ice? And she's like, no. So it's like crushed ice.
Yeah, this is Panama City.
In a plastic cup.
Uh-huh. We're about to talk about that and in some TDC.
It was one of those, how big? This
was probably a 12 or 16 ounce plastic cup. Yeah, yeah.
The typical cups you get, the throwaway kind of touristy cups. That thing was 3/4 of the way full with the bourbon.
And she put ice in first and then poured, so you know there's going to be ice melt, so it was extra bourbon. Yeah.
So I nursed this thing. That was the last thing I drank.
Well,
there.
He nursed the first half. The second half,
he chugged.
I wouldn't say chug, but it was.
Well, then I caught the buzz again, and then I just started drinking I normally.
Gotcha.
And then we go to our event, and it's free drinks at the event.
Yes.
Which, so we started off.
By the way, if you're going to have an event, you want Travis to show up. That's about a number one way to get me to show up.
That's pretty enticing, yeah.
And so we had a Hooter Brown to start.
Yep.
When we first got there.
Which was probably a horrible, horrible idea.
Terrible decision. And then I was drinking Bullet, and they didn't have ginger, so it was like Bullet and Sierra Mist or Bullet and Sprite or something. And I think I had like four or five of them.
I blame the Sprite, Dan. That's what I really think it was.
Yeah.
Needless to say,
I'm off the wagon because it was. I'm still not recovered. It was. I didn't work all week so far. My legs blew up. I'm retaining water. Doctor put me on a water pill. I didn't think I was going to make it through the week. And my wife, bless her, she's like, I'm not going to say I told you so.
But you just did.
But I told you so.
So long story short,
I'm drinking cool, clear, sparkling water.
I don't know
how
short it was.
It wasn't short at all. Was not short at all.
And that's my water review.
Yeah, that's your water review.
There you go.
Cool. Water's good.
It is good. Uh-huh. So do you want to go first? You want me to go first?
I'll go first.
All right.
I didn't. You know what's funny is me and Dan were together all day Saturday. And he didn't mention one single time that I didn't drink a single Miller.
Not one.
Oh,
not one the entire day.
You drank that Dixie stuff.
I did. I don't even think I drank a Miller Lite on Friday. I was on the bourbon Friday, so no, I didn't drink.
No.
Yeah. So, yeah. But this is like the first time in legit a week, which is saying something. But, yeah, I'm drinking Miller Lite.
And even when we had a draft beer at the event, you grabbed a Hooter Brown.
So you remember? All right. So
terrible.
I have as of this morning, I'm down 32 pounds.
Whoop whoop.
So I've lost an additional 2 since last week.
I gained like 15.
Well, I gave it the weekend. You're welcome. I gave it to you. So Friday we went out to the beach. It was kind of a last minute thing. It was actually, I think it was James and Trish's idea. They said, "Hey, y'all going to the beach?" And we're like, "Oh, why not? Let's go." So we went all out and I carried an 18-pack to
this
the beach.
This was Saturday or Friday?
Friday.
Oh, okay. What's pre-driveway get-together?
Yeah. So, yeah, it was
By the way, I think we've revolutionized our neighborhood because since we started doing the driveway stuff.
It's a regular thing.
Every party's
it's like, yeah.
Hey, we're trendsetters, man. What can we say? So I sat out there, and now I did share a couple with April. I will say that. Okay. But I drank all my – I did drink – all of those beers were gone. When we left the beach. So we decided to stop. There's a place on 38 that has a cauliflower crust pizza, and that's within our diet restraints. So we stopped by there, and I ordered another bucket of beer. And now I didn't share one, maybe two of those, but I also ordered a couple of additionals. I'm like, they took my damn beer. Let me get a couple more. Drank every one of those. And then when we got we get back over to Sturgis, I stopped by and get another six pack on the way. So what's funny is pre-diet, I would drink 7, 8, 9 craft beers with high alcohol content. And if I sat down and I drank a 18 pack of Miller Lights, that was nothing.
Right.
Which has been my point since we started the podcast.
Well, I drank at least 26 of those sumbitches Friday, maybe more. It. And, dude, when y'all got there, I was like, damn, I was almost leaving when y'all got there. And I'm like, man, I hate to leave now they just got here.
You were all quiet when we got there.
Man, I was. Oh, I was fucking with you about how you were dressed. Mm-hmm. But
everybody, Sturgeon's like, you look like you're dressed like a detective. I'm like, how would you know that?
Yeah, because he's had a couple of shows. Yeah, I was about to say, he knows. But y'all got there, and I said, all right. And April's she's got a temporary crown. She's going to get a new one, and it's just been hurting her. And it had started hurting her. And she looked at me, said, about ready. I said, well, let's stick around just for a minute. We'll hug necks and shake hands, and then we just snuck the fuck out. That's what happened. But anyway, I felt like shit all day Saturday, and
I was like 26 Miller Lights, yeah.
Yeah, at least 26. That was where I lost count. So
I gotta be honest with you. Like Friday night, I went hard and fast, like in a fairly short time frame, and so I didn't feel great when I woke up Saturday, but I wasn't like as bad as Dan or apparently as bad as Wes.
Well, I did some shots too. It seems like somebody, maybe it was over at Sturgeon's, was passing around a bottle of something, and I did a few shots.
Yeah, I think it was that Jack Daniel's.
Maybe that's what made me feel like shit the next day. But
bad.
Man, I felt terrible all day. So in honor of that, I'm now again drinking Miller Lite.
It's long story beer review.
Though. Yeah, it is.
Mine wasn't very long.
Hopefully it was entertaining at least.
That's true.
All right, a couple of more quick TDC stats. In Walton County, Florida, the average visitor spends $1,583 when they come here. That's throughout their time here. And the average stay is 6 days. 6, 7 days. 6.5, whatever you want to do the math on. Another Gulf Coast county, which it's my understanding this other Gulf county is the one y'all went to the event in Bay, they only spend $575.
Yeah, because we're bougie here.
Yeah, we are a little bougie.
Well, yeah, I mean, just renting a room here versus renting a room there is.
Yeah, it's different.
And if you're eating in South Walton, trust me, because I eat at a lot of restaurants up and down.
$15 burgers here.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it is a lot more expensive over here and over there. The average visitor is 55 years old. Median household income is $167,400 a year. 81% are from the Southeast. I don't believe that because I see those Ohio plates and Indiana.
I've seen Ohio and Missouri.
Just
Michigan, yeah. New York. I mean, they're.
Yeah. But according to this stat, as of the spring, 81% were from the Southeast. 19% of those are from Atlanta, 9% from Nashville. 8% for Birmingham. That seems low to me from Birmingham.
No, I will say, so coming to Walton County, so as someone that grew up around a little south of Birmingham, we all just went to Gulf Shores.
Well, that makes sense. Gulf Shores is a nice place, too.
Yeah, I mean, that was just where you went. Like, it just.
83% of the visitors fly or drive, and 44% bring to chilling. They spend on average $719 per day, $4,300 total per trip per family. 17% are first-time visitors. Now, when I spoke with Brian Kellenberger, he told me that the significant portions of that marketing expense, the $9 million, mm-hmm. is spent to replace those first-time or the folks who will never come back. So, and I forget what percentage that is. Let me see in my notes if I got something. Nope. So that's the marketing. But they.
So if people have, if the average income is $160,000 a year, why would they never come back?
They go somewhere else. They come down here and the traffic's shitty. Too many golf carts on 30A. Too many guys with grape smuggling shorts on bicycles getting in the way.
Ain't that the truth?
Like this. Fucker that got in my way coming in the neighborhood today and didn't pull over. I mean, actually pulled out at the stop sign at the park in front of me. And while I was at the stop sign coming down.
I would also be curious. I would also be curious to say, to look at, of those first, we had, I would say we probably had first time visitors here that typically go wherever, but they've always wanted to go 30A or, you know, all their friends from Atlanta or wherever saying that. But this year, a couple of stimmy checks, some tax returns. So maybe we'll splurge a little bit this year.
Working from home.
The
kids are in virtual school.
Yeah. You can still work and go to school while you're still here.
Yeah, so I looked around a few times and thought, there's some changes. There's some first-time visitors in Walton County. That's probably the best way. Sure, I don't mean that in necessarily a negative way. There's a certain person that's coming to this area to spend the kind of money that it takes to come down here. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't know that I've ever vacationed in this area before we moved here. Maybe
I did
once.
I've been to Destin. And
we either went to Gulf Shores or Panama City Beach.
I've been to Sandestin a couple of times, but those were with work conferences or when I was a lot younger. Panama City Beach. I've been to Gulf Shores several times. But a lot of times we would go to East Coast. We'd go to Daytona or we'd go to St. Simons Island in Georgia or Myrtle Beach or Savannah in Tybee Island. There's one more little group of stats that I wanted to mention. But I don't know where they are. It just caught me as interesting. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Now, that average expenditure just in last year in the spring has gone up about $300 per person.
Well, that makes sense because the prices of everything have gone
up. The prices have gone up. So you can account
but
for
I'll,
that.
But I also think last year, from talking to people that run resorts in the area, they got much more aggressive with raising their prices because they knew how busy it was going to be. They could tell from early
the
bookings
and stuff.
The demand
was going to be there, yeah.
And next year it's going to go up even more.
So some of the things that beach operations do, that's what I was going to talk about. All right, so they maintain and clean 20 miles of beach, 36 miles of public roads and highways, 9 regional beach access points where they've got public bathrooms where they go in there and clean those bathrooms sometimes multiple times per day.
Why are they managing the roads? What roads?
Certain roads.
Said 36 miles, so that's
30A. That's
so,
basically
so the 30A. TDC is managing 30A.
And other roads to access 30A. Yeah, I don't have those specifics in front of me. So you can just back off.
But what I'm saying is beach operations only got like a $4 million budget, which seems extremely low to manage the beaches and 36 miles of road.
They do a lot, man. I mean, you know, and they do Pilcher Park and Kellogg Park. And according to this, there's 52 beach accesses where they go out and landscape or they have a landscape company that contracts or they do garbage compliance and they are also fund code compliance. That used to be under the umbrella of the TDC, but now they just fund it. It's actually under the county, if I'm not mistaken.
I'd probably be more interested in defunding code compliance first. Not because I dislike one of the guys that's the higher-ups, but just
well, that code compliance is different than this code compliance. Okay. This is just driving.
Man, we got a lot of damn government in this county.
Driving on the beach, bonfires.
I'm still very curious, and I'm sure Brian will let you know. 36 miles of road. Why is that falling under the TDC beach operations?
More than likely because it's creative expenditures of that 5% instead of making us have to pay taxes on it. And there again, I go back to as a libertarian, I prefer consumption tax to pay for stuff over having to a property tax or whatever. So now, is there a better way to do all of this stuff? Absolutely. I think there could be some more efficiency in there.
Well, it's government, of course, there could be more efficiency.
Yeah, there always could be more efficiency. seems like there was something this Jim Bagby letter that I wanted to mention. Actually, it's a question I want to pose to you, Travis. All right. Let me speak to what Suzanne Harris said today. I asked her, because in our first phone conversation, she had said something about, and I'm using her name because she said I could today.
Awesome.
And I wanted to give her,
hey, Suzanne.
I wanted to get her permission before I used her name. She, you know, she was a little upset with how we, which I don't understand because it's not much different than what we're talking about now. But, which is fine.
That's because the hubbubaloo about what you said is because you said defund the TDC and nobody heard anything after that. That's it.
Correct.
Yeah. So it, and it, so the purpose of that statement is working, but nobody's listening to the stuff you're saying after that.
Well, that's fine.
So
I know there's a whole lot of Republicans running to defend this freaking waste of government money.
Oh, yeah.
Shocking.
I asked Suzanne, I said, look, how, and we kind of talked about this a little bit outside. I said, how do you feel about, and I told her my stance is I'm not necessarily in favor of totally getting rid of the TDC. However, I do have a big problem with a government organization marketing. And I told Brian Kellenberger the same thing when we met. I don't think government should be marketing. I think individual businesses should be marketing their own businesses. That's how capitalism is supposed to work. And she says, I have yet in my however many years she's been running the condos she runs, and I'll mention it, Edgewater Condos in Miramar Beach, mm-hmm. have yet to receive one booking as a result of the TDC. I said, okay, cool. She says, but on the other hand, if they are going to spend marketing money, they should be marketing local artists, restaurants, stuff like that. Because that's what, you know, she said, but we have our own marketing budget. And what she typically does is all the places the TDC markets, and they get the one-page ad, visit South Walton, blah, 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 blah. They'll buy a quarter-page or half-page ad over directly across from it. And Edgewater Condominiums. And that's how they'll operate. And her budget is significantly smaller than the TDC's.
And Sandestin's doing that. And Seascape's doing that.
Seaside's doing that. Rosemary doesn't even mention Walton in any of theirs. Neither does Seaside or Seascape or even, you know, Seagrove.
No, because Walton and South Walton means nothing. It took me like a year living here before. Like, what are y'all talking about South Walton? Oh, well, it's Walton County and it's south of the bay. Like, oh, okay.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
Y'all should have gave me like a flyer or something when I moved here.
Yeah, there you go. So, but anyway, according to Jim Bagby, who I don't know what his title was with the TDC. He's a realtor now. He poses the question to those folks who say defund the TDC.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if this was directed directly at you, but he says, how are you going to recruit almost 600,000 new guests a year? Because that's the amount of new guests that don't come back, whose family income is over $175,000 a year. If you think you can do it better, please tell me how.
Bro.
You don't.
Bro, what? No. Are you kidding me?
That was the question.
How about this? For 5% of the TDC budget, I'll double that number. You know why? So many analytics.
Will you hire Groove Web Marketing to do that?
Hell yeah. Yeah. And I'll give you like a little portion of it, and I'll just
Whoa, no. That's not how that works.
Okay.
If you hire Groove Web Marketing, it's going to at least be a 50-50.
Because with all the Facebook analytics, Twitter analytics, Google analytics, every kind of analytics, you know what? I could call a podcast and get them that have certain analytics to it.
According to Brian Kellenberger, he's not in the marketing department, but he says they do drill that down, and he points to that $1,500 per visitor expenditure to versus Panama City's $600.
And I agree with that, but when you've got one specific resort that's charging $900 a night for a hotel room with one king bed and two bunk beds, that's going to lift every other boat around it.
Sure.
Because now if I'm just not at that high-end hotel, but I'm at a hotel close by, let's say a Embassy Suites, which is a nice hotel, and I got one king bed. Well, now I can charge $600 a night because a quarter mile up the road, they're $900 a night, and I look like a hero.
Yeah.
So
And we haven't even discussed the $100,000 they paid Chaz Galloway to build an app.
So anyways, yes, for roughly 5% of that $33 million, I could target that many people and drive results easy. It's stupid easy. Well, the company I work for will send me a list of restaurants that don't buy from me and say, here's their hotspots based off of reviews, purchase history, blah, 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 their online presence. And they said, go talk to them about this this stuff.
I could do that.
It's not hard.
I look at it, and when everybody was bashing Suzanne for what she said at that one TDC or that one BCC meeting about targeting the proper clientele, I'm like, it's not that hard.
No, it's not hard.
I mean, if you're in marketing, it's not that hard. If you understand marketing, it's not that hard. And, you know, I know they do a lot of print advertising in these high-level magazines. Oprah's magazine's one of them. But, you know, I wouldn't even do print.
Because
print's expensive and it's fucking useless.
Wes, I'm going to say something. I really don't want to hurt your feelings because you can do it so much better. But somebody that knows how to use a computer can do enough research to get pretty damn close to that. Now, you've got a lot of experience behind that, and that's what makes you worth a lot more than some jackass watching YouTube videos. But yeah. Literal online marketing, in 2 hours of YouTube videos, I could probably take my 14-year-old and get her to do it.
Look, a lot of it, man, you're not hurting my feelings. A lot of it's not rocket science. I mean, it's not. It's just, some of it's time consuming.
Sure.
And that's why companies pay firms like mine and others to do what we do. That being said, the first thing I would stop if I were in charge of marketing and if we were going to continue to have a marketing budget for the TDC is I would get rid of all print ads because print ads do not work and you can't measure it.
Correct.
But I would do Facebook advertisements, Instagram ads, pay-per-click ads, YouTube ads. And I would target you. Print and billboard is like taking a shotgun to kill a squirrel. You don't need it. You need to pinpoint it, and you need to...
You know why billboards don't work anymore? Everybody in the car that's not driving, what are they looking at?
Their phones.
Their phone, yep.
And the guy driving is usually looking at the road.
And so when I have restaurants that tell me, like, oh, man, we just got a billboard. Business about to go up. Like, okay, buddy.
No, you just wasted $700,000 a month is what you did. And I tell people that all the time. The problem with print and billboard is a passive advertising.
Correct.
So somebody may see it and they may think, well, you know, one day I'll stop by there. But it only works with Alexander Shunara because he's got every billboard in the state of Alabama.
Correct.
And it works with restrooms and gas stations. That's where your billboards are most effective on the interstate. You all right, Dan? Dan's defibrillator went off. It'd go off. That's awesome.
Dan's tooth running, kicking back in.
There you go. That was funny. All right. So, but anyway, I mean, you can target that stuff. Now, so here's the question, guys. We're getting close to the end of what we would normally do. Do we want to just take the other discussions into the bonus, or do we want to?
Yeah, I think we label this a local.
Yeah, this will be a local
cast.
And what we'll do is we'll come back and we'll do a bonus where we'll talk about national politics and y'all's event.
Yeah.
We'll do that. So, hey, guys, thanks so much for joining us on Driveway Liberty Podcast. Pay attention to your local government and what they're doing because a lot of us sit back and overlook it. I know a lot of this shit is boring. It's mundane. It's ridiculous. But if you look between those cracks, a lot of times you might find something that you need to pay attention to. So that being said.
Defund your own TDC.
Like spending $5 million to kill mosquitoes and you don't actually kill mosquitoes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's a government entity in Southwold.
Yeah. That's another taxing organization. And there you go. So anyway, guys, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time on the Driveway Liberty Podcast.